We'll continue our study tonight on the rapture. I never thought that I would live to see Baptists deny the rapture. I never thought that I would ever live to see when I preached on the rapture that it would disturb anybody. And I believe it goes back to the opening verse of the book of Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. When you talk about the book of Revelation, many people will say, I don't understand it. I don't know what all the signs. It's confusing. The whole Bible is an autobiography of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It is a book telling us what Jesus Christ is going to do. And we try to show you, and we'll continue tonight, that his coming is going to be in the rapture, and there's the rapture and the revelation. Revelation is where he comes in the air. The revelation is where he comes all the way to the ground. Paul lists several components of the rapture. Departed saints will be resurrected. We try to show you the departed saints' condition. They're not dead. They fell asleep, waiting for the Lord to shout, to call them up. And we're thankful for that. And we studied last week the departed saints' condition, that the departed saints is completion. You know, that when the Lord shouts, we sometimes are very conservative in our teaching. And if someone gets excited, you know, even in get out of the church and get into the world, if you walk into a room, you got a grin on your face, people will say, what are you up to? Have you ever noticed that? What are you up to? Like it's discomfort to see somebody happy. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. But we learned last week, or I trust that we learned, that the Lord himself is going to come and with a shout from glory, the archangel going to blow that trumpet. He's going to come back for us. He shouted in Bethany and Lazarus live. He shouted at Calvary and I lived. But we don't shout just for the sake of shouting. We shout because we got something to shout about. And to know that if we die tonight, we would go to sleep in the Lord. Something to shout about. The departed saints will be resurrected. See, the Christian has a blessed hope, and this is where we want to pick up tonight. The certainty that Jesus is coming again and that all those that have died and we've laid in the grave, that they're going to come with him. They're going to come with him because they have fallen asleep in him. Their souls are already with him, and at his coming they will be united with their resurrected body. I remember a funeral that I preached at Grace Baptist Church in Georgetown. It was a funeral of someone who was very, very special to me, and in my memory he still is, as Brother Herschel Bumpus. But I helped preach his funeral, and I made a statement that I thought everybody knew, everybody believed, and I found out very soon that they didn't. When I made the statement that Brother Bumpus is not here. And you could see the looks on people's faces. And I knew right then that this old country boy had to do some preaching. Had to do some explaining what I meant. But I'll never forget, and I'll always remember what Brother Ross had said to me. He said, "Brother, the Holy Spirit used you. Because when God got finished, there was a calmness over that church. Because they knew that Brother Bumpus was in a better place than in that coffin. Oh, his body was still there, and we certainly, you know, mourn over the body and miss the body and love the body. And even today when I think about Effie, if I hear somebody laugh, I mean really laugh, I think about Effie. She had that contagious life that when she laughed, you would find yourself laughing even if you didn't know what she's laughing about. God blessed her with that. But there's something much greater than to remember that. It's to remember that she's in the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But our blessed hope is that someday all who have died in Christ are going to come back with Him. With Him. See, God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, God said here in verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." See now, notice the terminology. He has become the first fruits of them that slept. See, so when I look at that verse, Christ didn't die either. He went asleep. And because He slept, I'm not asleep. "For since by many came death," For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. See, every one of us died in Adam. That's why we're all sinners. We all died in Adam. You know, you can say, "Well, you know, I didn't have anything to do with that." No, you didn't. But we're all of the human race. If we trace our beginning back, I don't care what color you are, what country you live in, you trace it farther enough and you'll go to the Garden of Eden. God made one man. And then He made that man a helpmeet. And from that one man and that one woman, all of the creation has changed. But Adam messed up. And since we're in Adam, we all mess up. In other words, we're born with a sinful, depraved nature. Now, you and I, we were born a sinner, and we choose to be a sinner. And we will continue to choose to be a sinner until Jesus Christ becomes real to us. Then there's a change. Now, see that change. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." We all died in Adam. That's bad news. But we can all be made alive in Christ. That's good news. "For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man," now notice, "in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterwards, they that are Christ's," plural. Now notice, "at His coming." The only ones that are going to be made alive are the ones that belong to Him. And that's a promise from a God that cannot lie. See, the departed saints will be resurrected. The Christian has a blessed hope, the certainty that Jesus cometh again and that His return He will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." That's the rapture, Brother Todd. If you study your Greek, if you get your good dictionary, you'll see caught up is catch away, a catching away. That's what the word rapture means. We shall be caught up, snatched up. And God said, then we which are alive, and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Who is the them? That's the ones that have died before us and that Jesus Christ is bringing back with him. So everybody that dies before the rapture, their soul and body is united before ours. But notice, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now that's shouting grounds. I mean, I don't see how anybody that is saved cannot get excited about the fact that one day Jesus Christ is coming back to this old sinful world, take us out of this world, and we're going to be with him forevermore. Now, what does that mean? That means that if Jesus Christ came tonight, my wife wouldn't have to have surgery tomorrow. Oh, she would have surgery, but it'd be for the spiritual laser. I mean, you know, she would have a gallbladder that has nothing wrong with it, no headaches, no problems at all. Any problem that you have tonight would be instantaneously gone. Now, how can you be too sad about that? Now, because we're in the flesh, I met Brother Matthew Harris's dad today and his aunt, and he was talking about people who drive fast, and he said they were doctors, lawyers, and preachers. He wanted to know why preachers drive fast, you know. I didn't know why preachers drive fast. He said, I can tell you why preachers drive fast, because they know if they die, they're going to heaven. I don't know whether that's the reason or not. But I mean, you know, his point was that we are saved. We don't want to die, but we're not worried about dying. We're not worried about it. I mean, that is the last thing on my mind, is to worry about dying. To go under operation and say they're never going to come out. Praise the Lord. To die is gain. I mean, I'm talking about stuff from a selfish standpoint. There's nothing to lose. But as long as we're in this flesh, we're dealing with a depraved nature. And this depraved nature still wants to be around the hubby and still wants to be around the wife and still want to be around the kids, still want to be around the dogs for whatever reason. I mean, you know, we want to be around stuff because we're attached to it. But once that body is taken away, man, there's no holding back, see. We see all spiritual. And God says, that's our blessed hope. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. That means that there's something to that. If there's a child of God that you don't like, you better get liking them. You're going to spend eternity with them. I mean, they may make you run with me. Would that be terrible? But I mean, we're going to be caught up together. Spend eternity together. Living saints will be released. Not all Christians will die. See, the living will be released from the confines of this world and will pass from this earth life into eternal. I mean, if the Lord was to come back right now, none of us that are saved would face death. You know, so this old saying, only two things you got to do. You got to pay taxes and die. That's not true. There's going to be a number of saints who will never die. And that will take place when the rapture comes. We shall be caught up. Caught up. And he's coming for his own. But all saints will be united. What a meeting there's going to be in the air when Jesus comes to take his people. When those loved ones whom we bade farewell to at an open grave will meet us again in the grand reunion in the air. And I don't say this with any ill respect at all, but I wasn't saved when my dad died, so I didn't know enough. But when my mom died, I looked back at that grave and I said, you can't hold her. You can't hold her. You know why? Because I knew what the Word said now. See, there's comfort in the Word. It doesn't make the grieving. The grieving is still normal because we're grieving in the flesh. You can't grieve spiritually for someone who was in the shape of my mom when God took her out of here and took her home. I mean, spiritually, you cannot grieve for that. Not spiritually, but fleshly. Boy, fleshly, you sure can. See, because you can't relate to the spiritual when you're lost. You can't do it. But when you're saved, and you see that body roll down. See, and you know one day that body's going to come up. And it's not going to go come again like it went. Be no cancer in the resurrected body, people. Be no heart problems in the resurrected body. There'll be no blind, no death. Be a body like unto his. See, this is that blessed hope that the Lord talks about. And we who are saved, we've got that blessed hope. What a meeting. See, the church will leave instantaneously. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52, God said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, who is the we? We who are alive and remain, shall be changed. All in a moment of the twinkling of an eye. You know, as my former pastor used to say, the thought of foolishness is sin. But that day, we won't have to wait on nobody. You ready? Won't have to wait on nobody to get ready. Because God said in a twinkling of an eye, he's going to come back with all of those that have died before, and we who are alive and remain instantaneously in a twinkling of an eye will be caught up to ever be with him. What a glorious reunion. What a glorious reunion. And I'm telling you, I can't see why anybody would not want to believe that teaching. See, the word moment speaks of an indivisible point of time. A span of time so short that there's none shorter. Twinkling of an eye. Scientists have determined that the blink of an eye is 1/30th of a second in duration. Now, if they're right, that's pretty swift. It's going to be so swift that I don't believe that a lost person could see me go. I'd be gone. Yet a twinkling it's even faster than that, because somewhere in the region of 1/1000th of a second. Then Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, Paul used the term caught up. This phrase means to snatch away, to seize with force. It could well be that some believers are so attached to this old world that they will have to be dragged away. You say that's not possible. Well, think about our lives. Think about the things that we put before God, and we know they're not worth our time. The thoughts that we think, which changes nothing. But although we're saved, we love the Lord, we find ourselves attached, that we got to force ourselves to stop doing some of the things that we're doing. Now, if you really want to study, see, now that's why Paul said, study to show thyself approved. And all you got to do is to find out what I'm saying tonight. It says, get you a Young's Concordance, a Strong's Concordance, a good 1812 King James Dictionary. If you have a computer, you can go to the King James Dictionary and you get all the old words right the way they ought to be. Just type in KJVDictionary.com. See, you don't have to go and buy it. He says, bring it up, and you can find out that the old dictionary says that to snatch away is to seize with force. You know why? Because we naturally will fall, but it's unnatural to go up. But the power of God will literally come down and snatch you away, seize you, force you out of your old habits, and in 1/1000th of a second, change your whole life. See, it could well be said that some believers are so attached to this old world, they got to be dragged away. I mean, if you go along with the word meaning now, and God tells us to study, to claim for oneself. See, just like Lot of old when he was delivered from Sodom. I mean, you go back and study that. Look what was facing Sodom, Lot in Sodom. But he literally had to be drug addict. His wife was so attached, she turned back, was turned into a salt. So, you know, we humanly speak and said, how can we know what's happening to us, literally know what's happening to us, and not turn away from it? Because we don't understand what depravity is, brother. A man that is totally depraved can make no changes on his own. So when you have someone, doesn't have to be a pastor, it's just anyone that is saved praying for you, you ought to thank God. Amen. You ought to thank God. Because, see, there will be no announcement from the pulpits. If I was to announce tonight the rapture is going to happen July the 4th at 107, well, you who know the Bible would life me to scorn. Because God's word says that no man knows, the Son doesn't even know, only the Father in heaven. So there'll be no announcements from the pulpit. There'll be no announcements in the paper, the local news. It will just happen. And you know, God's word indicates that the rapture will happen at the very hour we least expect it. Now, stop and think. Let's just do a little inventory. How many times are we so wrapped up? Not that it's not important. I mean, you can be so wrapped up in something, in your life that God is so far removed? The rapture is, I mean, I'm not talking about bad stuff. There's been times this past week I sat out there in the doctor's office for an hour and a half while my wife was in the doctor's office, and the Lord could have changed in the rapture. Not that I'm not ready to go, but my mind for that hour and a half was not on the rapture. It was on, what's he going to tell her? It's going to come at a time when we least expect it. I say all that to say this. We need to be ready. I have not set a time, Brother Al, that I'm going to die. Now, think about that statement. He said, well, that's foolish. Well, we're going to die. God said it's appointed and the man wants to die. Now, God wants to give us a little hint because he said he's given us 70. So if anybody is 70 years old, we're in the neighborhood. We may live to be 80, 90, 110, 120, 140. But God only promises 70. Then as we get older and our body begins to deteriorate, then we know that our time is closer. But we don't know when. We don't know when. But because of that, look how the devil capitalizes on it. Young people, you're not going to die. You're too young. But young people die all the time. How many men and women have we lost in Iraq? Were they old people? They in the prime of their life. Their life snatched out. Were they ready? Were they ready? Let me tell you, maybe this is off, but we were going down to Cincinnati, and I've got, I think, about 5 cell phones, you know. Not active, Al. You know, only got one. But each time that I trade up, I cheap it. You know, I don't. And I got a letter from St. Edward's down here. They're going to take these cell phones and they got some deal with some phone company. They're going to send them to Iraq so that the young soldiers can call home. And you know me very well. You know what I thought. Baptists ought to be doing that. Baptists ought to be doing that. But see, it is so strange that if the average independent missionary Baptist came up and said, we're going to have a mission program and we're going to write letters and we're going to try to gather all of these cell phones up and we're going to put minutes on them for our soldiers, what kind of mission work is that? Brother, that's to show those young men that we appreciate, those young women, we appreciate what they're doing. We're not in Kansas anymore. When that young man gets back and he received a phone that he could call his wife, his daughter, his mom, his dad, who do you think he's going to remember? You understand what I'm saying? See, we need to be ready. We need to be ready not only to die, we need to be ready for the rapture. We need to be ready with 20th century ideals and plans to reach the lost. But nobody's done it. Does that make it wrong? Brother, I don't care if it's a Catholic ideal or a Mormon ideal or Islamic ideal. That's a good ideal. You know where it came from? Some lady here in this county got a person over there that's special to her. Just thought I'd throw it out. My five telephones are going to St. Edward Church. You can do whatever you want to with yours. I appreciate that. Jesus said, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. See, when we go to the Bible and we don't know when he's coming, Brother Bill, God said you don't know when he's coming, but we know when he's not coming. That should help you. If you don't know what's wrong with your knee, Donald, that's bad. But if you know what's not wrong with it, you begin to narrow it down. And God says here in the book of Matthew that he's going to come in an hour that we think not. In an hour when we think not. So he's going to come at a time when we're all wrapped up with self and we're all wrapped up with somebody else's problem. And not that we shouldn't be concerned about it, but when we've got so many problems that we can't think about him, look up. He may be coming. Now let's see if he says that. Matthew 24, verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Well, he's not going to come Saturday, you know. Man, I got plans Saturday. But he says might. So we got to be ready at all times because he just may come. See, the church will leave intact. We'll all be changed, every one of us. The rapture will not even be an event enjoyed by a select few, but every born-again believer will take part in that rapture. Now, there's some who believes that he's just going to come for a certain group, but you can't find two raptures. You find one rapture and one revelation. You find one teaching where he comes in the air. Then you find the other teaching where he comes all the way to the earth. I'm going to be in the rapture. The body of Christ will not be fragmented. See, that's the problem today. Satan has got us in little fragments. We call them schisms. We call them, you know, we don't like to use the term, do we? But we're all equal in the church. We're all saved. We're all been added to this body. We ought to be praying for each other, uplifting one another, encouraging one another. How do we do that? Well, when God blesses one of us, we ought to rejoice with one another. And when one of us down, we all ought to be praying for him. And when you do that, you'll see a different atmosphere and a different attitude. And God will bless us. See, because of the lives they have lived, some will not deserve to go, but they'll go nevertheless. Think about that. I mean, church, there's going to be some people in that rapture that will surprise you to death. You know why? I worked at IBM for 30 years, and I've seen some people promoted that in my mind, you didn't deserve that. You didn't deserve that. That was in my mind. But see, I wasn't the one that promoted them. whatever qualifications somebody was looking for, they met it in the person's mind that counts. Well, there's one person that counts, and that's God. And whether I think Bobby Wall deserves to go to heaven or not, it's not going to change one iota whether he goes. Think it now with me. What I'm telling you is that when the rapture, everyone that's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ is going because of that one fact and that alone. Now, we're not talking about, we haven't got into passing out rewards and you know, that's another subject that's so wonderful. I mean, to be saved, some of you in this building tonight have said, as long as I get to heaven, that's all I care. You won't feel that way when you get to heaven. I'll guarantee you that. You won't feel that way when you get to heaven. I mean, would you rather spend eternity at the feet of Jesus or just coming in and get a visit with him every once in a while? See, because of our relationship to God. Now, all the saved will go and all the lost will stay behind. The lost will be damned, the saved will be changed. That will happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to just briefly give you what we're going to talk about next week. Change physically. Think about that. Change physically. At that moment of the rapture, all the saints will experience a radical change. I don't know why I like, I don't know whether it'll even come back on next fall or not, but I can't remember the name of the show, but where they take these ugly people like me and they make them beautiful. You know, complete makeover. You know, that's exactly what's going to take place at the rapture. I mean, that's exactly what's going to take place. At the rapture, there's going to be a complete makeover. But of the things that count. My old mind that thinks about things it shouldn't think about will never think about them again. That's the kind of change I'm looking forward to. See? That heart that holds grudges and won't ever happen again. Complete change. These mortal bodies that are destined to perish. Think about it. I mean, this body is destined to perish. I don't care how good you take care of it, and believe me, you ought to take care of your body. But the only difference is that what condition your physical body is when you die, but you don't die because of this body. But when the rapture takes place, Brother Scott, no more dying. No more sickness. I mean, you got anyone that you know that is sick constantly? You know who's really looking for the rapture? I mean, let me get out of place for a moment. Brother Wayne Hart. What are you looking for more than anything, Brother Hart? You know what his answer was? Rapture. Because, see, that's the only hope he's got. There is no cure, known cure for Lou Gehrig's disease. Rapture will take care of it. You say, that's silly. That's his hope. That's my hope. That should be your hope. Everything else is temporal. The question is, if Jesus was to come back tonight, would you go with him? That's what it all amounts to. Would you go with him? And if you're not 100% sure of that, you need to do some serious thinking. Because nothing else matters. Nothing else.